Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. Thursday, August 18th, 2022, rolling even closer to the weekend. Here are three big things you need to know. One, former Vice President Mike Pence condemning some Republican attacks on the FBI over the search of ex-President Trump's estate in Florida. Pence said the attacks on the FBI must stop, adding criticism should be directed at Attorney General Merrick Garland, not the FBI agents who were following orders. Two, West Nile virus has been found in a blood donation from an Oakland County resident. Donor had no symptoms. It's the first human case of the virus so far this year. West Nile has already been found in mosquitoes and birds in parts of the state. And number three, another 10 illegal immigrants caught crossing the southern border have popped up on a terror screening database. That's according to new numbers for July, released this week by Homeland Security. That brings the total number of illegal immigrants who have been on terror screening databases this year to 66. And that's where we start this hour of the Steve Gruber Show. Hour number three, we'll be joined by Dr. John Lott in just a little bit from the Crime Prevention Research Center. And then Alan Dershowitz later on this hour. He's got a new book out. We'll spend a couple of segments talking with him about matters. Scott Bertram sitting here at Hillsdale College. Sometimes I stand. I am sitting at the moment, though. And I teach here at Hillsdale, as you might know if you're a frequent Steve Gruber Show listener, in the journalism department and also am the general manager of the student radio station here at Hillsdale, WRFH. Award-winning. In fact, I hadn't even mentioned this yet. I should. It's a big deal. The Princeton Review, which ranks colleges on all sorts of metrics from, you know, most conservative and biggest party school and best teachers and happiest students and all those sorts of things. They have given us two great honors here in the journalism department. One is the college newspaper here, the Collegian, the oldest college newspaper in the state, was ranked as the third best college newspaper in the country. So congratulations to my friends and colleagues and students at the Collegian. But this radio station here at Hillsdale, WRFH, cracked the rankings this year for best college radio station. And we've only been around for about 6 years. Hillsdale College's WRFH, the 24th best college radio station in the country, according to the Princeton Review. Not bad. But the nice thing about being number 24 is it leaves us room for improvement. We can keep getting better year after year. So that's pretty neat. From the Princeton Review, we thank them for their acknowledgement of the quality work happening here at the college. Not quality work happening when it comes to fraud, pandemic fraud. This story is going to make you angry, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I apologize in advance. The New York, you know, it's bad when the New York Times figures out they've got to write a story about this. The New York Times writing in yesterday's edition, prosecutors struggle to catch up to a tidal wave of pandemic fraud. In the midst of the pandemic, the government gave unemployment benefits to the incarcerated, the imaginary, and the dead. It sent money to farms that turned out to be front yards. It paid people who were on the government's do not pay list. It gave loans to 342 people who said their name was N.A., not applicable. As COVID shuttered businesses, again, we should make the distinction here, government policy shuttered businesses, and forced people out of work, the federal government sent a flood of relief money into programs aimed at helping the newly unemployed and bolstering the economy. Trillions of dollars. Those dollars came with few strings and minimal oversight. The result, one of the largest frauds in American history. Billions upon billions of dollars stolen by thousands upon thousands of people, including at least one who boasted of criminal activity on YouTube. Now prosecutors are trying to catch up. There are currently 500 people working on pandemic fraud cases across the offices of 21 inspectors general, plus investigators from the FBI, the Secret Service, the Postal Inspection Service, and the IRS. 1,500 people have been charged with defrauding pandemic aid programs. 450 convicted, but those figures dwarfed by the mountain of tips and leads that investigators still have to chase. They have 39,000 investigations going at the Labor Department. And the SBA, the Small Business Administration, is sorting through, get this, 2 million potentially fraudulent loan applications. Officials already concede the sheer number of cases means that some small dollar thefts might never be prosecuted. This month, the president signed bills extending the statute of limitations for some pandemic-related fraud to 10 from 5, a move aimed at giving the government more time to pursue cases. The government provided $5 trillion in relief money in three separate packages. Congress, in its haste to get that money out the door, devised all three packages with the same flaw, which is they relied on the honor system. The honor system, the honor code, works here at Hillsdale, maybe not so great with $5 trillion in pandemic relief. For example, an expanded unemployment benefit benefit gave workers an extra $600 per week in federal jobless funds on top of what they got from the state. The program was administered by states, which often had loose rules around qualifying, and applicants did not need to provide proof they had actually lost income because of COVID-19. They just had to swear it was true. The Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, also had similar flaws. Here's the wild stuff. In some cases, programs missed schemes that were comically easy to spot. In one instance, 29 states paid unemployment benefits to the same person. In another, the Postal Service employee, got an $83,000 loan for a business called U.S. Postal Services. Another got 10 loans for 10 non-existent bathroom renovation businesses using the email address of a burrito shop. In another case, a mother and daughter in Westchester County, New York, stand accused of turning fraud into a franchise. They helped other people cook up fake businesses in order to get loans from the Economic Injury Disaster Program. In some corners of the internet, schemes to defraud were discussed in chat rooms and YouTube videos. Scammers offered to help for a cut of the proceeds. Some used the money on necessities, but many seemed to act out of greed, go figure. Splurging on yachts, mansions, a $38,000 Rolex, or a $57,000 Pokemon card. All the programs are now over. There's no official estimate for the amount of money that was stolen from them. The Justice Department has charged people with about $1 billion in fraud so far, and the cases they are now investigating are at least $6 billion more, but the real number could be much higher. One official said the total improper, just unemployment payments, could be more than $163 billion. Where does the government get its money? From you, from me, from Americans across the country, whether it be individuals or businesses. That's your money. That's my money. $163 billion just in unemployment payment fraud. Ridiculous. It should make you disgusted. Scott Bertram in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber.
Over the past year, we've experienced incredible uncertainty. Businesses across the state have been shut down. Unemployment skyrocketed, and Michiganders have been left wondering, what's next? And throughout this turmoil, your Michigan Chamber has been fighting for you to protect lives and livelihoods. We know that we're all in this together. Michiganders are strong and resilient, and we know that working together, we can bring Michigan back.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Peppers from Argentina, blueberries from Canada, and corn from Mexico. What are we doing? It's time to wake up, America, support our family farmers, and defend our nation against an invasion of foreign food. It's time you support Patriot Foods. Patriot Foods is an American-only produce brand supporting U.S. farms and donating a portion of every purchase to U.S. veterans. Join the movement to buy American and eat American. Go to patriotfoods.com. Patriot Foods will even ship your order for free. Patriotfoods.com. PatriotFoods.com. When it comes to getting a new dog, I always tell people start at the shelter because that's a great idea. But sometimes you're looking for something special in your new long-term best friend. And that's when I found the Barking Boutique. They suggest starting at the shelter too, but if that doesn't work, they have a world of wet noses and loving nuzzles and puppy breath to choose from.
The Barky Boutique began when its owner David was heartbroken by what he found looking for a new dog, puppy mills, and people he didn't trust. He decided he could do things better, and the Barking Boutique was born, now with several locations in West Michigan. The Barking Boutique is dedicated to working with reputable dealers, and they guarantee the health of your dog for the next 5 years. They also offer daycare and boarding for your best furry friends. So before you just start guessing about where to get the perfect puppy for you and your family, start with the Barking Boutique. I've been there myself, and trust me, you're going to love the Barking Boutique, and you can start your search right now. TheBarkingBoutique.com. TheBarkingBoutique.com.